Kenny. Turn your Bibles this morning, the book of Luke. We're in the book of Luke in chapter 2. Luke in chapter 2. We're still talking about, I know this is kind of a strange thing, but I always this time of year like to talk about the birth of Christ. And so I like to, last year we talked about characters at the cross and at Easter time and characters at the cradle. And this year I'm kind of thinking, kind of went away of those that were thankful for around the birth and why they were. And this morning we're going to talk about the shepherds and how they were, they're thankful for God's revelation coming to them. Luke chapter 2 and verse 6, as soon as you find your place, if you stand together with me. Luke chapter 2, verse 6. The Bible says, and so it... Let me switch, sorry. Matthew's probably waiting for me to switch. All right, there we go. Man, why? I'm going to get with it one of these days. Probably not, but... And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. So we looked at last week and talked about Mary and just her being told and all the things that, and thankful for, she was thankful that God would even find favor with her. So now here we come to the baby's been born. The babe's there in the manger. Verse 8. And they were in the same country, shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. And the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Let's pray together. Our Father, we're thankful, Lord, for this time this morning. Thankful for each one that's come to really to gather together with us, Lord, that we might gather as one this morning as a body of people, Lord, that would come with a desire to hear from you. Lord, I pray that you would, Lord, would you stir us? Would you direct us? Lord, would you, Lord, do something in our heart that would really, Lord, help us to be less like us and more like you? Lord, we don't want to just come in here, Lord. We want to come and be changed by your word. And so, Lord, I pray that you would do something in our lives that would stir us this morning. We'll give you thanks. Lord, we're thankful for our Savior coming to this earth. And we're thankful for the time that we're not just still looking forward toward his birth, but we can look back at what's happened, and now we're waiting for you to come again. We're so thankful for all that you've done for us. Lord, pray that you'd bless our time this morning. We'll thank you for it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. Number one, I want to talk about the wonder of the message. So the wonder of the message. God revealed this message to ordinary shepherds. Just ordinary shepherds. These were not special men. They were not exceptional shepherds to say. They were, and they didn't have special sheep necessarily. And some suggest they, and I've heard through the years, some suggest these could be the very shepherds that raised the lambs that were being slaughtered and so on. I don't know. We don't have anything here that says what they were doing was anything necessarily exceptional. They were of those that slept out in the field with their sheep. These were the workers, the laborers, those, if I say it this way, those that kept the wheels of this society running in the background. Unknown, seemingly unimportant. You ever think about what it takes to get your lamb chops to the grocery store? You know, just the whole process of people starting from the farms or even industrial farms, and then they get those things butchered, and then now you've got your meat butchered and you got it there. Now how are we going to get it moved from one place to the next? Trucking industry is pretty simple, isn't it? No, it's not. It's very complex. You think, well, they just, man alive, yeah. Joey's figured out. It's very complex, isn't it? It's like, wow, I thought it just trucks. No, I mean, right, Neil was back there. You know, he works on those things too. A little bit different process, but man, how you get the oil from in the dirt to in your tank. I mean, all these things, and let alone the packages. Brother Jonathan deals with them. You know, you think, oh, it's easy until you lose one. Imagine losing a package in our... I mean, we get, at this time of year, we already had this morning Amazon come to my door. Bless their hearts. I mean, these people are crazy. And when you lose something, you know, nowadays what they do is say, we'll just send you another one because we can't find it. You know, no, I'm kidding. But I'm just saying these shepherds were just out in the field. Just average workers, laborers doing the job, unknown, seemingly unimportant. But God's grace, I want to tell you this morning, God's grace, this news of the birth of Christ, was given to the lowliest of men. You're like, wait a minute, preacher, you just talked about all these guys in here, and now you're saying they're the lowliest of men. Lowliest of men, but not to God. But not to God. They might have been this place that weren't this other place, and the labors and the things that they're doing and all these things, but I'll tell you, these are the ones God chose to bring this message to. This message was good news for all people. Amen. It was good news for all people. You know, some news only really impacts those that it pertains to. Like when the stock market goes up. Jonathan, can we just bring it down just a little bit echoing here. When the stock market goes up, those without stocks aren't really interested. Ooh, the stock market went up. Has no effect on me. I don't have, you know, if you don't own any stocks, it just doesn't, you don't even care. You know, you don't watch whatever news talks about those. I don't even know what news talks about those. Headline news, Dateline, I don't even know what day it is. Anyway, I'm going to make up stuff. So people that have, sometimes they watch it, but if you don't know, it's not interesting. I looked at some things about the stock market crash in the early 1900s, and you're like, the people are like, oh yeah, I don't have stocks, it doesn't matter to me, until there was a Great Depression, and it mattered to everyone. You know, when the news of an increased tax break for married couples comes out, or extra deductions for children are announced, it does not apply to single people or those with grown kids. I don't care about extra deductions for kids. I don't get them. So disappointing. I did then. Ooh, more deductions? All right. Or if you're like, hey, there's the for couples, if you're single, it doesn't matter. You know, when the governor of Florida wants to remove property taxes, some people are very tuned in. The people without property aren't really interested. It's not going to affect them. I'm renting. You know, not me, but somebody says, I'm renting. It doesn't affect me. It doesn't have any. Some news just affects certain people. But this news... this message revealed a Savior, not a system. You see, this wasn't talking about a system of religion, right? This wasn't talking about a system of just simply of the offering of the sacrifices. You know, but this day they were still offering the sacrifices of lamb up till, you know, it's interesting, up till around 70 A.D., and when the temple was destroyed, they were still offering blood sacrifices in there, right? It wasn't until this day, they were still doing that. But this wasn't news about that. It wasn't news about a system. It was a news about a Savior. The Savior had come. He would be the Savior for all people. And this was made clear by this message that was first given to these shepherds. That's the point that he was trying to give, is the wonder of this message that was given to these lowly shepherds. Every time we get to this every year, I think it's amazing, and it goes countercultural, doesn't it? The second thing is the witness of these messengers. Look at verse 15 with me, if you would. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." So, can I say this thing this morning? Is this? They may have been ordinary in career or in position, but they were not ordinary. I want to acknowledge something this morning right here. When I think about this, there were likely many other groups of shepherds in those fields around Bethlehem that night. They weren't the only ones out there. There probably weren't hundreds. This was not a huge area. But likely there was anywhere from 10 to 30 different groups that could have been out there, scattered around in that place, around the fields of Bethlehem, out there in their places, tending to their sheep, where they slept out in the field with them at times. When I think about this situation, when I think about that night, of all those that might be chosen, this was a specific group of shepherds. It was likely, historically speaking, when you see, it was likely probably anywhere from 2 to 5 shepherds would be in a group. This, you don't, all the shepherds don't put their sheep out and then go hang out together. They go in different places, and their sheep are out there grazing, and these are over here. And so you'd have 2 to 5 men maybe attending that group of sheep there that had been together when the shepherds came that night. What was special about this group, about these men who were not named? We don't have their name in the Scriptures. They were not important. They were not necessarily significant in society. They're not leaders, not influential. What was special about them? When I consider this passage, one thing stands out to me quite significantly. After the angel told them about the Savior that had been born, what was their response? I'll tell you one thing that maybe if you've learned about me, I know these guys in the preacher's class learn very significantly, and I talk about it almost every time. And I talk about it here a lot, and I'm going to talk about it some more this morning, as you might guess. I think one of the things that's vitally important as believers is how we respond. When we are given information, what do we do with it? I think what's significant about these shepherds is once they heard this news, they said, "Let us think about it for a while. Let us sit on this thing and just meditate on it." No. They said, "Let us now," it's the word, "let us now go." The response was immediate. And not only was it immediate, but they came with haste. And I know haste isn't a word we use a lot nowadays, you know, unless we're talking about quit being hasty. You know, we might say that. It means they went quickly. Look at verse 16. The Bible says, "And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger." Listen, how many people throughout Jewish history heard from the Lord? We've got the whole Old Testament, right? Throughout Jewish history, heard from the Lord, from a prophet of the Lord, knew it was of the Lord, with miracles and tasked with it, and refused to respond. We have story after story. I've just preached for months, a year, more than a year, about just from the post-exilic nation of Israel, and all the times that they heard and didn't respond. heard and didn't respond. I mean, truth is, we can read through almost the whole Old Testament. That's what it's about. They hear the truth. They hear the message. They hear the warning. Yet continue on with their lives in the same exact way. In the same condition anyway. I feel like a broken... You ever feel like... No, don't answer that. I feel like a broken record at times. I feel like, man, it seems like I say the same things. You know, because I only got one book. We need a new book so I can say new things. No, just kidding. But it's like God says, listen, this is the same. We're the same people. We're the same people that Adam and Eve were. Throughout history, we've been doing the same thing. You know what we've been doing? We've been hearing truth and saying, not really sure if I want to do anything about that. Hear truth, look at it, hear it, and say, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to think about that. Or what we find throughout history is, nah, I don't agree with that. Find this over and over. This, what I'm saying, I think what's significant about these spells, they were different. Not this night. Not these men. After hearing this message, they immediately responded with haste. So we got to get to that thing. They wanted a personal encounter with Christ. They wanted it. No. They didn't want it to just be corporate. They wanted just, man, that sounds pretty exciting. This is going to be great. No, they wanted a personal encounter with Jesus Christ. They didn't just want to have religion like other people have religion. They didn't just want to have an experience like they didn't want to have it like through someone else's eyes. Not just to hear it and sit on it, but to go and experience what they heard. You know, there's people that from Missouri would comment, they like to be known as what state?
Show me.
Show me state. Right? I don't want to just hear about, I think they've changed that slogan, but I still think of them as the show me state. You can't change it once it gets in your head, right? It's like Pennsylvania is the Keystone State. They've changed it. Now they want to be something else. But the show me state. You know, I don't want to just know about it. I mean, if an angel told me, I'd be pretty convincing. But they said, I wanted more than just hear it. I want to go experience. I want to go. Let's go. And I don't think, I'm just thinking about this for a minute. I don't think one of them said, we got to go check this out. And I don't think the other, I don't know. We got this nice place to sleep out here. No, I don't think, you know, it seems to me that they went with haste. They said, we got to go see this. It seemed to me that group said, let's go. Let's go. We got to see it. Folks, I cannot express enough the value in responding to what we hear. I'm telling you, folks, I cannot. Sometimes the response that we need from the Word of God is to go back into the Word of God and study it more. Sometimes our response is, man, I'm not living that. Maybe it's, I've never heard that. Maybe it's something else going on. Maybe there's some situation that's going on that we're like, hey, that's the first time I've heard that. I didn't realize that. God's convicted my heart a little bit. Something's going on here. So we need to now, I need to go back in there and read that some more. Amen? I don't mean to say, wow, that's interesting. That's not really a response. If I would be honest, I would probably say most of us, most of the time, our response is, that's interesting. I think that's probably fair. Or I don't think we'd say this, but some of that, man, I wish such and such would have been here for that one. Right? I mean, I think that all the time. You know, man, I wish they had been here. No, I'm just... sometimes the response is to put something off. Right? We hear something convicts us about the Word of God. And so we need to put something off out of our life. Or we need to put something on into our life. We realize the response is, God, I need to put something on in my life. I need to put something off. Maybe it's to go make something right. Right? There's some response. And maybe this morning, it is for you to turn your heart and life over to following that Savior that was born that night. Either through putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Maybe this morning your need is to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. You'd say this morning, you'd say, Pastor, I don't know if there's ever been a time in my life where I've ever actually trusted Jesus Christ as my own Savior and I've turned my life to following Him. I heard somebody say one time, somebody went on a missions trip. And they came back from the missions trip and they said, yeah, while we were there, they said, everyone doesn't have a testimony. They said, you know, some people just don't have a testimony. That's called being lost. So I don't have a testimony of trusting Christ as my Savior. I think some people just don't have a testimony. It just works like that. Well, the problem with that is John chapter 3. When Nicodemus came to Jesus, he said, you know, good master, what must I do? He said, good master. And Jesus said, why callest thou me good? And Jesus turned to him and said, except thou be born again, you cannot see the kingdom of heaven. And, of course, Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, said, what do you mean? You've got to go a second time into my mother's womb? This is kind of strange. It's the first time he's hearing this born again thing. So, are you those born again people? Yeah, I'm the Bible, John chapter 3 people. Right? He said, you must be born again. So, being born is a moment in history. Just like it was that night when Jesus was born in the cradle. And God said, I want somebody to come and see this. So we could write about it. I wanted to be in there. People see. This wasn't just, didn't just happen. No, there was people lived it. People born there. And people came and seen it. We're going to see later on. The shepherds said, we're going to see later on. The wise men came, not to that birth, but came to see this was a child that was born. Listen, I want to tell you what. Being born again is a moment in time. It's to come from death unto life. It's not a gradual process. Now, you say, I don't know that, you say, Pastor, this morning, I don't know that there's ever been a time in my life that I did that. I think I've kind of always been a Christian. Well, I think Nicodemus in John chapter 3 would have said that. I think I've just always been following God. Jesus said, no. Can I say it this way, folks? I'm just kind of, I'm not going to twist it, but I'm trying to maybe explain it. I think you can be a Christian without being saved. Like, that's weird. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying Christian means to be Christ-like. I think you could look like Christ, or you could look like Christians. You could go to church. You could wear crosses. Right? You could make prayers. You can do things that are Christian-ish without ever being saved. That doesn't make you a terrible person. Well, you're just a hypocrite. I don't think it's somebody being a hypocrite. I don't really think people are... I think Christians get accused of being hypocrites a lot. I think it's people trying to figure it out. I think somebody could go along the road quite a while thinking... I am really living this out, but I've really got it all. Man, I did too. I thought I was going to heaven. But the truth of the matter is, there had never been a time in my life when I said, Jesus Christ is my Savior. It's not about me. It's not just me believing it. It's about me making a decision to turn from me, to turn to Him, and put my trust in Him. Not saying, oh, I believe in Jesus. No, 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 no. It's more than that. Believing says, I am going to change my direction. So, maybe this morning, your decision is to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ this morning. Or maybe you've done that. You said, I've done that. I'm not pretty secure. I know I've put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I've got no doubt about that. Well, maybe for you it's to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. So I just don't think you need to do that for salvation. I didn't say you did. Why are you arguing with me? No, okay. But we certainly do see that the Lord said this is what's instructed. To follow the Lord in believer's baptism. To make a profession, a public profession about what I've done in my heart. And so it's, well, no, I've done that. Well, maybe this morning what it is to join together to be a member of this body where the Lord has placed you. So I'm not sure you need to. No. Listen, we could read through the Scripture and find it very clearly that God has compacted us together, fitly joined together. So I just don't know. I just don't know that we need to be members. He said, be ye members one of another. I mean, he talks about members. Talk about the member of the body. He said, well, I think somebody can just show up at church and be a member. Well, that's kind of not what we find in the Scripture, because we find some are members. As a matter of fact, he talks about it in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. He said, there be strangers among you. Those that were not part of the body. They were strangers. I mean, you don't get more strange than a Baptist. I know that. But what I'm saying is they weren't part of the body. They were people that were there from the outskirts, just coming in to see what's going on. Maybe, you know, how is it this morning that God wants to stir your heart to respond? But I digress. Let's get back to the shepherds. Amen. You're like, thank you. That was getting heavy on me. Okay, here's it. Once they heard, they responded. They saw the babe lying in a manger. It was no longer someone else's experience. They weren't hearing about it only. It was now their own. It was now their own. Wasn't their mama's religion. Wasn't their grandma's religion. My cousin today, Lord willing, is in church. The preacher, I mentioned him on Wednesday. Maybe, I don't know if I mentioned it last Sunday, but I mentioned it on Wednesday. And my cousin reached out to me, and I hadn't heard from him in years. And he said he's looking for answers with some addiction thing in his life. And I said, I want to get you to church, called preacher this week. And he said, I'll go visit. We visit him on Friday. And he called me back. He said, you know, he trusted Christ as a Savior today. And he's coming with, I'm going to go pick him up, bring him to church. He said he's going to help me shovel the walk. It's in Iowa. I got snow. He said, I'm going to shovel the walk. And, you know, he was telling me, he said, the preacher said, all he had was when his grandmother took him to church. His grandma didn't take him to church. He's got some faint memory of some experience that he had a couple times, but I know his grandma. Sometimes we have something in our heads that we were there from. Man, it was great. I had this relationship. My aunt Carol, the only person in my life that I know of at that time, through as growing up, that would have ever prayed for me, that would have ever even known how to get a hold of God to pray. I could think about, man, she just, you know, because of her, because I can have this relationship. I'm telling you, folks, it doesn't work through bloodline. And it doesn't work because somebody brings us and has us sit in church. I wish that was enough. I wish just getting somebody in church. I want to get people in church. Amen? I want folks to get in here. You know what I want? I want them to be able to have an opportunity to hear the message. But they got to respond to it themselves. Each one of us has to respond. There's nothing we can. I wish I could. You know, I wish I had a salvation stick. Right? Have I said that before here? I wish I had a salvation stick. I'd go crack somebody across the head and they'd get salvation. And then I wish I had one to get right stick. You know, so once, but we don't. It's a choice. These men, they went from a place of hearing about it to owning it. Now, once they owned it, watch this. Once they owned it, what's gonna? They couldn't do anything. You know. Once they owned it, once it became their own, like, man, I got you. You know what they had to do? They had to do. No. Y'all are looking ahead. Look up here. I'm gonna get there. Y'all, what did they do? We're gonna get there. Y'all know we're gonna get there. Get excited. I get it. You're like, why is he excited? Because I'm telling you, here's what happens. We really own it. You can't keep it to yourself. I mean, you just can't keep it to yourself. You know, I started this new thing. For years, I've wanted to get a chocolate cake diet. Amen? I'm working on a chocolate cake for a chocolate cake diet. It's coming around. You know, see, I tell you, y'all taste it. In your mind, I brought it Friday. I said, y'all eat it. No, in my family, I'm about to make the third one, maybe Monday. When something happens that's exciting, I mean, you can eat chocolate cake in it. I mean, it's some protein powder in it, some eggs in it, some, you know, it's got some yogurt. It's like when I'm making, it's like 1/8 slice. It's just a little loaf. 1/8 slice is going to be 22 grams of protein. It's my new meal. Chocolate cake diet. Isn't that awesome? You're like, if that works, if y'all never hear me talk about it again, it's because it died. But I don't know if y'all knew I like chocolate cake. Yeah, I knew that. But most chocolate cake has a lot of sugar, right? So I'll tell you, when you get excited about something you want to share, I'll tell you, when you own Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can't help but tell about it. Look at verse 17. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. I'm telling you, truly being thankful for the revelation of God, of the Savior who had come, right? So being thankful for the revelation of God that He had sent that His Son, that the Savior was born, is to express it in obedience, seeking and witnessing. When we receive the revelation, this news, right? This truth of Jesus Christ, our Savior, it manifests itself with our response. You can't truly receive it and be thankful for what God has done in your life and not respond to it. You just can't. It doesn't work like that. I can't go very long without talking about my chocolate cake. Y'all going to hear more about it. We'll see. Or if you never hear about it again. If you never hear about it again, you find out it didn't work. If nobody hears about you talking about what God has done in your life, it's because it didn't work in your life. You didn't truly receive Him. When you own it, you can't help it. It's going to come out of you. It's going to come out of you. Living it as a Christian, as Jesus Christ being our Savior, is the greatest experience in our lives. No. I'm telling you. Living as a Christian with the power of God and the presence of God and the conviction of God and the help of God and the encouragement of the Lord is the greatest experience of your life. Telling it, though, is truly amazing. I don't think there's anything more exhilarating in this life than telling somebody about Jesus Christ. It's so fascinating. Fascinating for me to relive it through the eyes of somebody else. This Kirsten that's working with Aisha over there, and she's, you know, she has videos every week. She has a video meeting with her, and that's what we're paying for that time that Aisha is working on this, and they're doing this. And when she goes and does this, and she just gets back and she sends messages, just thrilled about what she's seeing and this person's life being changed. The light being turned on. And Aisha has said, now she said, I believe Jesus Christ. That's what she says now. And I'm telling you, There's nothing, nothing's more amazing than being a part of that. Look at verse 18. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. When the world hears it, they cannot help but at the very least wonder at those things. Somebody says, well, I just don't know if I believe that. Or somebody says, I don't believe that, but I'm telling you, nobody walks away without wondering about it. I've been at many doors or talking to people, sharing the gospel with them, and they would just want to argue. And I'd always want to leave them with something they'd wonder at. I said, you know, you may not believe in Him. I said, but He loves you, and He wants to save you. He's waiting for you to call on Him. And it's so fun. I almost get that same look. There's two looks. The main first look is like, wow, I thought she was going to keep fighting me. There's one that's like, the other, and there's two looks. But I'm telling you, I always think, I'm never going to walk away from that door, and they're going to just go back to the TV program and not wonder at those things of Christ. Third thing is this, the worship of the men. Look at verse 20. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. So when we get a hold of it personally, we cannot help but be thankful for it. And thankfulness leads naturally to worship. Thankfulness leads to worship. That's what happened. Just as we talked about last week, Mary's response to God's favor was to break out in the song of praise. Right? And these shepherds who received this revelation now returned to their life with glorifying and praising God. This, folks, was not just a flash in the pan. Right? Wasn't just a flash in the pan for them. This wasn't just the excitement of the Christmas lights. Wasn't just the excitement of the Christmas gifts and the hot chocolate. Though those things are exciting. Amen. I like hot chocolate. Lights. We like lights. Presents. It's okay. Amen. Their worship continued after the night was over. See, in verse 20, again it says, and the shepherds returned. They returned. They went back to their homes, to their jobs, to their families, back to their lives. But nothing was the same again. It was their same ordinary situation, but they weren't the same ordinary person. This is what responding to the Lord is really about. A life that is changed. And it's not until we're truly changed that we will effectively tell it to others. No. We might say things, but I'm talking about effectively telling it to others. You can't really do that if your life hasn't been changed. To glorify and praise God without being a witness to those around us is impossible. We can't glorify and praise Him if we're not going to be a witness to people around and tell them about it. True thankfulness becomes visible in praise. You know, two people could sit in the same church for years, hear the same Bible preached, sing the same songs, listen to the same, all the same teaching, all the same things. One remains unchanged by it. One remains completely unchanged by it, listening to it year after year after year. The other grows, worships, and serves. You know, the difference isn't what they heard. You know, somebody will sit here and after a while say, you know, I just don't agree with that. I don't like that. And they will go out from us and follow us no more. They'll say, I just don't like that. There's wrong things going on there. And often that person will go off back into their own world. Not necessarily to another church. Just back to the world. The difference is not what they heard. The difference is their response to what they heard. For some, the truth stays on the page, not owned, not lived out. For others, the truth becomes personal. Say, I believe it. I want to follow Jesus personally in that thing in my life. That's the difference between hearing the message and responding to it. And that's exactly what we see the shepherds doing. They didn't just hear it. They went. Here's our conclusion this morning. Man, it's too early. I should have had a 4-point conclusion. The shepherds, here's it. The shepherds did not just meet Christ. Though they did that. They didn't just meet Him. They went back to their daily lives changed. You know the funny thing is, we don't really always get it. Usually when a person gets saved, it was the same thing for me. You don't really get what all happened. You're like, yeah, I got saved. Yeah, I got saved. Now I'm a Christian. I'm going to get baptized next week and join the church and I'm going to, you know, take the background check and, you know, do stuff, you know. And you don't really know what's going on. No. They really trusted Christ, but they don't know what all is entangled with that. And then it starts being decisions in their life. Now they're not making. And the things they used to do, I've talked about the friend of mine, Brother King, the preacher, that he'd say after he got saved, he went like he always did. He was he worked on, I don't know exactly what he did, but something unloading trucks and that kind of thing. And he said he went back and as he did every Friday night, they went to the bar together with all the guys that were, they went to the bar and they're going around and saying, hey, you want your usual, want your usual? And it got to him and he said, I'll take a Pepsi. And he said, the guy next to him said, I think it was a Coke, actually. And the guy next to him said, what? A Coke? That was loud, wasn't it? Echoes in here. That's probably the way it sounded to him that day. And he said, I don't even know why I did that. Something happened that I just didn't want to do that anymore. The things I used to do, I don't do them. I'm telling you, something happens when we actually receive Jesus Christ as our Savior. We don't just mean we're changed. Those shepherds went back to the same fields. They went to the same sheep. They did the same work. But now, glorifying and praising God. And that is what God's revelation is meant to do in us. It doesn't just give us information, you see. It transforms our direction. Not just stir our emotions, but shapes our obedience. Not just bless our hearts, but moves our lips and our lives. Man, it's different. The question for us this morning is this. It's not whether we've heard the message. The question is whether the message has changed our lives daily. So here's my challenge for you this morning. Has the Word of God changed you? No. It's a loaded question. It's like a 7-point. No. But not, yeah, I remember how it changed me back there. Amen. But if all it did is change you back there, that's what we call a flash in the pan. If you had one change and you've been living at that, listen, I'm telling you, the Word of God is doing updates on us. Right? You ever have an update on your computer or your phone? You wake up or something says, update needed. And you're like, oh man, I hate to do that because you never know what's going to happen. You update your phone, maybe it'll never turn on again. Right? You ever done that? Or your computer, like, oh, if I do that, you know, sometimes we don't like updates. And then the update comes, you're like, man, now it's got different. I don't know where my stuff is, right? Y'all know what I'm talking about. We live in a technological world. Some of y'all are like, I ain't got no clue what you mean. Trust me. These things come. But I'm telling you, that's the way God works in our heart. If we hear the Word of God, and we respond to it. God does some things in our life, and the things that we used to do, even down the road, we don't do them anymore. Has the message changed you? Let's all stand. Father, I pray that you'd help us now this morning. Lord, we need to do more. Lord, I pray that you'd help us. Lord, we need to do more than just hear. Lord, I'm thankful for each one of these folks that are here this morning. So thankful. I am, Lord. Appreciate that folks would come back week after week and be in their place, and it's an encouragement. I'm thankful, Lord, that you've given us folks that want to come and serve and minister together. But God, I pray that you would help each one to take what's heard and let it actually affect their life. Or maybe there's some this morning that need to put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ this morning. Maybe there's some right now that are saying, I don't know if I died today, if I would go into heaven. I think so, but I'm not sure. Lord, I pray that you'd do something in their heart, that they would come at this time of invitation. Maybe there's others that they've gone through that they haven't been baptized. They haven't followed you. And maybe others are delaying becoming a part of your body. Or there could be so many things. Lord, I pray that you would stir the hearts of your people. I give you thanks for it now.